Can you take a seat? Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus and his words, and we pray that as we seek to engage with some of them this morning, you would give us insight and help and strength that we might live more according to his truth. And we ask for his sake. Amen. Well, we come across a word in that gospel reading that we had a few moments ago, which is very familiar. But Jesus makes us think about it more carefully. And that is the word neighbour. Now, anybody like to define the word neighbour for us? What is a neighbour?
Next door.
Somebody lives next door. That's what we usually think of, isn't it? And I understand that the word in English comes from the Old English, the Middle English, which is literally a nearby dwelling. So a place, or more usually a person, who lives near to us. Now, in that reading in Luke chapter 10, if you want to have it open as we think about it, it's on page 1046. Luke chapter 10, page 1046. We find Jesus being confronted by someone who's described as being a lawyer. Now, he was not like today's solicitors or judges, but rather he was a teacher of the Old Testament law. He was a religious leader whose job it was to explain particularly the first five books of the Bible to people and what they all meant. Now, teachers of the law were, on the whole, considered to be good men. They were those who wanted people to know more about God and also to recognize what the Old Testament law pointed forward to, which was that one day God was going to send his special king, a Messiah, to rescue his people. But not all the Old Testament teachers of the law were like that. And this particular one, we're told in verse 25, tried to put Jesus to the test. He said to Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it, seeing as you're an expert in the law?" And the man answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." So the lawyer replied with what might have been expected in many ways, the key commandments of the Old Testament law, to love God and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Now, Jesus says, if a person can live that way, well, then they will live. They'll know God and what life is about. And, of course, the lawyer couldn't really argue with Jesus' answer. But he seems to have been a bit put out in some way, and he didn't want Jesus to have the last word. And so he took the opportunity to test Jesus some more and to try to prove himself right and Jesus wrong. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, verse 29, "And who is my neighbour?" Well, Jesus doesn't continue the debate, but tells a parable. And it's one of the most famous stories with a message that he ever told. Let's just recap the story. A man was travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by thieves. They robbed him, and they left him in a terrible state by the side of the road. Now, it just so happened that a priest, a temple official, was going down that same road. But when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Of course, a phrase that has entered the English language. A few minutes later, a Levite, that is a highly regarded religious leader from an important family line, he came past. And when he came to the place, he saw the man lying there, and he passed by on the other side as well. But then a Samaritan came past and saw the man who had been mugged, and he had compassion on him. The Samaritan cleaned up the man's wounds and put bandages on them. And then he put him on his own donkey and took him to a hotel. And he gave the hotel owner something like £100, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend on him, let me know when I come back this way." Now, of course, many of us, if not all of us, have heard that story before. And to some of us, it is very, very familiar. But we do need to feel something of the force of it. Now, let me ask you a question. What comes to mind if you hear the word Samaritans? What comes to mind? Something that's good, yeah. Why? What care, someone's saying? What the word? Telephone them when you're in trouble. That's right, exactly. So in England, over the past few decades, and perhaps even around the world now, Samaritans mean to us good, caring people who give up their time, probably for nothing, to be at the other end of a telephone line when someone's in great distress and in great need. So automatically, as Nigel said, the word Samaritans means good to us. They're good people today, Samaritans. But what we need to appreciate is that for those who Jesus was speaking to, Samaritans conjured up exactly the opposite sort of reaction. You see, Samaritans were seen as disgusting people. They came from a foreign area and they had taken on board pagan false ideas about the true and living God. So thinking of having a Samaritan for tea would have been like us thinking of inviting round an ISIS extremist from Iraq who organises the killing of Christians, or a child slave trafficker. People would have felt repulsed. They would have felt revulsion at the thought of Samaritans. A Samaritan would have no good in them whatsoever. And yet, of course, Jesus has a Samaritan as being the one who does the good thing, the caring thing in his story. Now that explains something of why the Old Testament teacher of the law responded as he did. Remember, Jesus says to him, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among robbers?" And the Old Testament lawyer is rather annoyed. It's almost as if he speaks through gritted teeth, because first of all, he didn't like Jesus humbling him, but also he despised Samaritans. So he says, he doesn't say the word Samaritan, he says the one who had showed mercy on him, I suppose. He has to give the answer because it's obvious, but he doesn't like to say it. But of course, the impact of the story is even greater because of the other people who Jesus speaks about. So Jesus' parable might go a bit like this if he was telling it today. A man was travelling from North Ferriby to Beverley. His car broke down and he got out to look at the problem. As he did, another car pulled up and three men ran out and started to beat up the driver. They stole his laptop from his car and then made a quick getaway. They left him half dead at the side of the road. Now it just so happened that a vicar was driving on the same road, and when he saw the man lying there with blood round his head, he put his foot down, thinking someone else would help. "I have a PCC meeting to get to," he thought to himself. Now, a few minutes later, an archdeacon on his way to York for a conference at the Minster drove past. Now, he could see quite clearly what state the man was in, but he looked the other way and ignored him. After all, he had important colleagues who were waiting for him. But then an illegal immigrant who had just completed a lucrative drug deal drove past. When he saw the man lying there, he saw him and had great compassion for him. He stopped his car, got out his first aid kit, and patched him up. He then took him to casualty at Hull Royal, and he waited, as we usually have to, for several hours before the man was seen by a doctor. And he only left when he knew that he was going to be well cared for. So why did Jesus tell a story like that? Two highly regarded people who you would expect to care for this needy person, but they ignore him. But the despised man, well, he does care. Well, remember what Jesus said to the expert in the law in the original parable. "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbour to the man who fell among thieves?" And the Old Testament expert says, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Go and do the same sort of thing. So really, you see, Jesus' story is not that hard to understand. It's just very hard to do. When we belong to Jesus, we're to be involved in practical service, in generous caring. And we're to do this for anyone around us who's in need. For such people are our neighbours. Now, this simple but profound story of Jesus has led to his people practically serving and caring in so many ways for the past 2,000 years. People have sought to put right ignorance with education, physical need with medical work, poverty by trying to alleviate it, and a new positive approach to work, whatever it is, done for Jesus and for the benefit of others. Not to mention the countless ordinary acts of kindness, one to another in local situations. So of course Jesus' story has implications for us as individuals and as a church community altogether. What kind of needs do we encounter that we can seek to meet in Jesus' name? Now, it's great that we have the opportunity to be able to support international Christian agencies, as we prayed for, people like those who work for Tearfund or INF in Nepal, and also more locally in Hull with Hull Youth for Christ in the Boulevard. But it is worth thinking, are we aware of needs in our own community that we as a church can help with? It's good to dwell on that and to think whether there are. So Jesus' message is not hard to understand, it's just hard to do. And that brings us back to the situation in which the parable was first told. Jesus is partly telling the story, of course, to help us to appreciate that we need to be caring for and loving those around us in need. But he also told it in order to help us to remember that actually it's very difficult to fully keep that commandment to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. We all fail. We're all those who give in to selfishness. We're all those who pass by on the other side from time to time. It's sadly true, we can't deny it. And it's also true that we fail to continually and consistently love God with all that we are, as the other commandment that the Old Testament lawyer spoke about. So what hope is there for us? Well, in Jesus' parable, we are, of course, to think about how we fit into the story ourselves, and therefore the need to practically care for all people that we encounter who are in need. We are, if you like, ourselves to be good Samaritans to our neighbours. But also we're to remember that really, spiritually speaking, we are also like the person who is lying on the ground in need. We are, spiritually speaking, without clothes, damaged and unable to put things right ourselves. We need one to be a good Samaritan to us. Now, wonderfully, in Luke's Gospel, we have a portrait of the central character, which is centered on his mission statement that we find in Luke 19, verse 10, where Jesus said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So Jesus came for the spiritually needy who need rescuing, those who need forgiveness for all their failures to love God and to love their neighbour as themselves, and those who know that they are needy and can't help themselves. So Jesus' parable reminds us that we need Jesus not just to be our teacher, but also to be our saviour, our rescuer. As we read in that other reading from Titus 3, "But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy." So in this sense, we cannot do anything to inherit eternal life, like the lawyer asked Jesus. Eternal life is inherited. It is a gift. It is a gift to be received and not earned. And it's available through this Jesus who died and rose again. And then those who have received eternal life as a gift, not because of what we've done, but because of God's mercy and grace, well, then we are to be those who seek to serve God and others. We are to reflect, as we do these loving, caring acts, something of the compassion and merciful love of God that has first reached out to us in Jesus. Who is my neighbour? That was the question that Jesus got asked. Jesus' parable makes clear that our neighbour is anyone in need. anyone to whom we can offer compassionate, practical, giving love. And such love is inspired by Jesus, who first reaches out to us in our need with his mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable of Jesus. It is familiar, and yet, Father, when we dig around in it and chew it over, we can see that it does have great impact. So we pray, Father, that you would give us grace, that we might be those who can be good Samaritans to others in need. And help us as a church to work out how together we can show your love to others. And we thank you too for Jesus, who is our Saviour. Thank you that though we are, as we read this story, aware that we so often pass by on the other side, we thank you that in him there's forgiveness for our failures. So give us grace by your Spirit, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.